Yo, you listening to the Oprah Rose Show with TT and Gigi, and yeah, get it poppin'.
Thoughts. Everything begins with thoughts.
She's a slut, she's a hoe, she's this, she's that.
We say to girls, you can have ambition, but not too much.
It's about people being uncomfortable with women owning their sexuality.
What is the truest, highest vision that you hold for yourself?
I'm a real ass bitch, and I'm gonna get everything that I'm gonna get on my own.
I know for sure. You don't get what you wish for. You get what you believe.
Hi. Hello.
What's up? What's up?
I'm TT.
I'm Gigi.
And I'm Dee Dee.
And I know we keep being like, are we back? Are we back?
Yes, the aunties is back, baby.
We are, I know.
Emphasis on auntie, honey.
Auntie, yeah. Mama, everything.
Everything.
But you're auntie, literally, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all are.
We all are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody.
Big auntie vibes in the building. Mm-hmm. Like, whoo, Chalea.
I've missed y'all, though. It's been so long. Like, miss y'all in terms of PTGG, but also the listeners, too, because the people been asking, like,
I know.
What y'all watching? Shout out to Becky. Becky be getting us together. Like, I don't know what to watch. I don't know what to listen to. I don't know what's going on with politics.
Yeah. We've been dark as fuck. Nothing on social, like nothing.
Nothing.
I know. You know, it's like life. I mean, life is always lifing, but
yeah.
We say the same thing every time we come back too, but I think everybody can understand.
You know, yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot of changes and whatnot. To be honest, I actually should have checked to see what the hell we talked about last episode because I don't remember. I think, you were still
pregnant. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it was just going into, I think we did it in what, December?
December was right before the holiday.
Yeah, so maybe like a...
Was it? No, I think it was January.
So it was January, actually. So yeah, kickoff of the new year of sorts. But, you know, a lot can change in 3 months. And shit, a lot can change in 3 months. But, you know, we're here. I was telling y'all earlier how my friend yesterday said that life was lifing him, or he's like, life did open. So he's like, no, I'm not really living right now. Life is living me. That's what he said. He said, life is living me.
Yeah. I don't know what about what's in the water this Q1 of 2024. It was just life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For life, a lot of people.
Life for a lot of people. Like, yeah, a lot has, and then just a lot happened in the world. Like,
yeah, it's for sure.
I even just on the scale of just the weather, I was reading a tweet and somebody was like, "Well, it's also just so dark in New York, like, and there's no sun. It was raining. Oh, really? It's been so cold for it to be spring." And it's like, I'm like, it really does affect your mood.
And
then you're like, okay, maybe life isn't so bad. You know, maybe it's not horrible because the sun is shining, but I think today the sun is out.
It's true, because I always talk about the rain here in Atlanta, child, and it rained earlier this week.
You said it rained every day.
And it rained earlier this week, and I was not having a good day, bitch. Me and the rain was both crying. the rain brought on the crying, and I just had a good old little cry session, child. I just had to get it on out.
You need
it.
You need it. So what is going on with everybody?
Right. The rain brought it on.
Right. You want to start? He was crying.
I guess so. I think with Q1, I'm a person who I don't like to think of my job as my life. Like, there's a clear distinction between who I am, what I do outside of work, and work. But the beautiful thing about having a job is that work pays for the things that you do outside of work, right?
Yeah.
And so I think did we do this episode before or after Grammys? I don't know, but I want to say probably before Grammys, but I was in LA for Grammy weekend, which was like an amazing time. Got to hang with Tia. I didn't get to see G because he just had the baby.
Yeah.
But it was such a good time to just like connect with people. And like, I hadn't done it before, but I think the thing at that time, what in the rooms that you were in, was everyone's was worried about like what's happening with these labels in terms of like merging and were people getting laid off and things like that. So that was like the looming thing that was going on. And so that did happen to me. And so kind of like losing the job was kind of hurtful in a way, because it's like, now I got to figure out what I'm supposed to do next. Right. Mm-hmm, yeah. It's like, it's, you see layoffs happening everywhere, right? Like, it's not even just in music. It's happening in tech. You see all the articles coming out. You even see the articles coming out of these same companies doing layoffs and making, you know, historic, you know, profit month over month, quarter over quarter. And it's like, what's happening?
Yeah. Right? Math.
The math is not math. How y'all making all this money, but then y'all laying the people off?
Yeah. Going straight to shareholders, just increasing their profit margin.
Greed. It all comes down to money, right? And we've talked about it on the show before. Like, now at this point, all three of us have gone through this within the last like couple years. And so it there's no end to it. And no one's really doing anything about it. And so I think, you know, once you put yourself out there and start reaching out to people and applying to stuff, and you see a lot of the rejection, you know, I think it kind of gets to you after a while, because it's like, well, damn, it's not my fault that I'm even in this, but I have to, like, you know, tie up the bootstraps and go out and put on a good face and do all the things so that, you know, you have the coins to go have fun. So, so that was what the little cry session was about. But I'm fine, right? Like, it's just more of like, no one wants to constantly see that rejection, right?
And just being
self-aware that it's not you, it's them.
and it's a process, right? Like you said, not only I know, I think specifically last year, I think I had like 5 friends that were laid off, you know, and me and G was in the same year of not working at a company. And like you said, there is that, like, how am I going to pay my bills? Like, what am I going to do? Right. You know, is there another company? And I think it's just, it's a rough situation. I don't care who's going, you know, what sector or anything. It's like, it's just, it's tough. And like you said, it's not about you. It's literally about profit margins, but nobody wants to hear that. You're like, you know, it's a defeating thing, kind of, where you're like, what is going on? Literally, what's next? Yeah. Especially at our age. And it makes me even think, going back to your point about like these layoffs in music have been like historic. This is the music industry has ever seen this amount of layoffs. And I think it scared me a little bit thinking about people that are also older. And I've been at these companies for like 40-50 years, and it's like,
damn, not old enough to retire. You're too old to transition to do something else.
Right. Exactly. Like, what are those skill sets? Like, how is that transferable? Whether it be, I think we're going to see a lot of companies starting new things, but also everybody can't do that. So it's like, where are all these people going?
Yeah.
And again, like
to pivot to another industry, right? Like, music is very specific. Like, and one could say, like, oh, well, if you can do music, you can do TV and film. They're doing the same thing, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know, with anything good that comes in and kind of changes and shifts the culture, there's going to be something bad that comes with it too, unfortunately. And when we think about streaming as like a full holistic thing, whether it's music, TV, film, these companies are trying to suck so much out of the $10 we all pay, right? Mm-hmm. And so you just see that now just trickling down to all the rest of these companies that are like part of that. So it's literally affecting everything, where it's on the surface, it's great for users, great for me to you know, turn on my TV and see whatever I want to see, watch it on demand and listen to it on demand whenever I want to. But that comes at a cost for other people too.
Yeah, and it's not the CEO or the shareholders though.
No,
they could make less.
Yeah,
they just don't want to. They don't want to give up their jets.
Corporate greed. But this is the culmination of, I remember in like 2000 and I think 10. What year was that? G and I were both when we were at Motown, and that year was kind of like a year, because that was like pirating and like, the streaming services were were super new then. Like, we were still selling physical CDs. Right. That was, and then so it kind of took another 14 years, and now we're here to kind of adjust to, like, what does this new streaming model, like, what does this look like? How, you know, what are these payouts and, like, all these things? It's just, I don't know. It's crazy. Like,
it really is crazy.
It's crazy.
Because it's really, the idea is to really help the consumer be able to do things with ease, right? With them, whatever the medium is, it's really to help us be able to experience it easier. But with ease comes less. And with less comes less, right? So it's, it's a very interesting time to watch. And, like, you know, people are always like, well, what is the government doing? Shit. They're going to do a damn thing.
They arguing about goddamn whatever it is, immigration.
Which is also important, but I feel like they
could talk about more things than one. You know,
it's all of the wrong. Like, I was thinking, I think I was thinking this last night, and it was something. It's like, you know, New York is introducing this congestion tax. I forgot. It's basically like,
I saw that. That's fucking crazy, bro.
$15 to make you not drive, to make you catch the subway. But then it's like, the subway is so damn crazy now, where people,
it's dangerous
as hell.
And it always has kind of been, but it's just, like, increased. And now, you know, they put in all the police. Because I'm like, well, child, it's given, instead of MTA, Metro, it's like Militia Transportation Authority. So now you got all this money for the police officers to be in the stations or whatever, and kind of implementing, like, a stop and frisk type of method.
Right. And that was back in, like, 20, I think they ended at, what, 2012?
Yeah, now it's kind of
12 years later, like, we're doing it again.
Of course, like, a black man would bring it back.
Exactly. This is essentially just to do that. It's like, when I still do ride the train, just because it is still always going to be the cheapest method. But I, and again, every day, just about, or Monday through Thursday, two times, at least once a day. And I ain't never seen a police officer on the damn train. It's like, they're above the ground. And if so, it's like, if some shit pop off.
Did somebody just get shot on the, get their hair blown off at a station?
Where
are the damn police for that?
Inside the station. So that's why they're like, oh, they're implementing more police force, but they're not, like, on the train. And then it's like, I will say that the mental health and, like, the homelessness situation on the train, this is probably the worst I've ever seen it. It's like, that's really what y'all need to be focused on, because there is every single day. It's like, I mean, every day that I'm like, damn, on the, like, literally just the homelessness rate and the mental health. Like, where are the resources for that? Like, where are the resources for the drug rehabilitation? Instead, you want to implement stop and frisk. This makes so much sense.
Right, because that's really what it, really what the city needs, and most cities need, instead of more police or more budget to over police people. You just need more resources. But motherfuckers is lazy. Y'all close the libraries on the weekend, but you got more police.
But more police, exactly.
Because that doesn't literally solve the problem.
Not even in the trains
that's where the shit is happening.
I've been here for, what, 14, 15 years now? It's like, I'm like, God damn, like, you got to either just be on alert, or you got to look, everybody in the eye, like, don't try it, like,
Yeah, and now, I mean, obviously, you know, for most of the time you were there, the train wasn't like that. Yes, you know, certain times of the day, certain stations, blah, blah, blah. But, like, the videos I see now that go on viral on Twitter, it's just like you said, it feels more like a mental health thing. Like, I've seen that type of guy that's, like, yelling in people's faces and all of that. Like, I've seen that before.
You can see it. It's not, it's like, obviously, again, homelessness is a big issue, but this is like, you can just see it. It's the mental health issues, like, tick or whatever. You can see it, like, every other day or something like that. That's the epidemic.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's really crazy.
Because you would think that they would do more to accommodate, like, the rich, wealthy people. But I guess the rich, wealthy people are like, A, they probably don't take the subway. Mm-hmm. And B, they probably just think that over-policing is the answer.
Yeah, they're on the Upper East Side or Upper West Side or wherever you are. Yeah. You're not taking the train. You're walking everywhere you need to go. You're taking Uber. You have a driver.
A driver, yeah.
Yeah, it's like it doesn't affect you in the same way that it's just affecting
most of the city.
Yeah, going to work every day. It's very crazy. But yeah, I was going to say, going back to like what we were talking about with the layoffs and stuff like that, and you're like, I love that you like had your cry session though. You let it out.
And I hadn't, right? Like, I think the big thing for me is like, I've been here before, like trying to find a job. Like, this ain't nothing new. But I think it's just more of like, it's different now. It just feels different because I think before,
you got a mortgage.
Mortgage, like bills. Mm-hmm. I got bills, bitch. Like, it's like grown. You got
grown
shit.
Bills.
Yeah, it's like grown shit. And then on top of that, it's happening elsewhere too. So it's not, I'm not the only one that's going through this. So you feel some sort of like, that you're not alone, but then you not being alone is like, all right, well, we all looking at this goddamn same job.
Same
now.
Jobs, yeah. Yeah.
I can't it's talk. Competitive, bitch.
Like, come it on.
Competitive now, come out on. There.
I can totally see that. I actually literally just got off the phone with a friend who, same thing, and he's older, and he lost his job last year and had been at this company for a little minute. And I remember we were talking, he called me, I think it was like over the summer. And he was like, Tierra, I was breaking down in that garage. Cause same thing, he got two mortgages and like, you know, like the real life bills. And he's like, you know, our conversation about, he was like, hindsight, it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me. And that's the thing, like when you get out of it, you're like, okay, I, you know, while you in it, don't nobody get me the fuck out of here. So
you
I
don't
want to
hear none of that shit.
Yeah,
I didn't want to hear none of that shit when I was laid off in July. You, and even though this nigga's whole shit came falling down, and that was such a blessing, but
and,
you couldn't
right,
tell
in disguise,
me.
Right, like it could have been now, right? Imagine it being now.
Yeah. No, it really is. Everything happens for a reason, and I really do believe like, you have to lose something to gain something. And sometimes it's not what, it's like maybe not what you thought, or it's going to lead you into something else. It's like 4 years down the road, you're like, oh, this is why this happened. Or it's like a new skill set. But, you know, I always tell you, I know you're going to be fine because you also do have like a bunch of different skill sets. So I'm really.
Thank y'all. I'm, like I said, I'm fine. Like I even think before it even happened, I in a way felt it was going to. So in a way I've kind of like dealt with it before it even happened. So when it happened, it was more of like, all right, what are we about to do now? Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's just keep it moving. So I think it was that mindset of like, let's just keep it moving and not actually like sitting in the feeling of it. And I think this week with the fucking rain, it was giving Hillary Duff "Come Clean" in this bitch.
What song is that?
You don't know the video where it's like, whoever,
maybe
if y'all
we need
to
listen
this,
to
I'm
our
sure
next some, Lifetime playlist.
Right.
I'm sure somebody that's listening to this knows the exact video. She was like, it was raining the whole video, like pouring.
I'm dead.
And she was just singing.
I'm dead. Not Hillary Duff. That was so, I was like, whoo. I'm dead. Oh my God.
Wait, gee, I hear a baby in the background. We ain't even introduced Playboy.
I know, I was trying to be quiet. He picked all this, the first time, or the blah, 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 I can't talk. He picked the right time to talk or to want to talk.
I got little hiccups now. Oh
yeah,
my.
Him got a little hiccups. This is Max, everybody.
Oh my God.
It feels little like baby. Like a redo, because I remember we used to do this with Jesse in Ty's studio.
Yep.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's funny. And they look alike.
They look just alike.
Yeah, that's what the people are saying.
That's what jeans do.
Yeah. Yep.
Like
he made it. He was born January 27th. Also at night, I think 9:15 PM.
Come on.
Jesse was 10:20 PM. So some night, two night babies. He was via C-section, which was different because Jesse was a vaginal birth. I was devastated about having a C-section. But it's fine. You know, you just you make a plan and then God laughs, you know, yeah. and you mm-hmm. have to be, you know, you really have to kind of be open. But I was, you know, I definitely was much more intentional about my birth this time. I felt like the birth was having me last time. And I was like, no, this is not going to, I'm not going to do that this time. I'm going to, you know, have meditations. I'm going to like, you know, be present even in the pain. I'm going to breathe. I'm going to smile. Like, I'm really going to, you know, embrace the experience. I was very pleasant to all of my doctors.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, there was some tears because there's pain, obviously. But, like, I was just, you know, instead of living in, like, the hurt, I was living in the, I'm about to meet my son, you know, which just kind of changes, you know, your perspective a little bit. And so he made it here. I had a great experience at Cedars-Sinai, which I think is important to say because they were under, you know, federal investigation, which anybody who had issues was doing so, you all would need to be under federal investigation. So that cleaned them right up. It was almost like, oh, we got a Black woman. Let's like, guys, what was it?
They had the board with your name on it. It was like a star next to it.
Yes, literally.
Black. It was a black star.
Like we no slipping. Like it was just they were very attentive, almost overly attentive. Like it was to the point where it was annoying. But a good experience overall. I love my doctor, Dr. Benouni. If you're in LA and you want to have a baby,
I know,
go see
right.
him. He has like over 1,500 reviews on Yelp, and it's like 4.9 stars. Like he is that guy. He's a white guy, so I think that may be somewhat of a I don't know, culture shock or whatever. I've only had like Black women OBGYNs prior to him, but this is the best experience and the best doctor that I've had thus far. So, you know. He gets my rave review. Transitioning to motherhood a second time around has been, you know, it's been interesting. It's definitely a lot when you have more than one, because you want to, you know, I still have to be intentional and present for Jesse. And I think it's kind of a good combination having an older girl and then a young boy, because she is like very helpful. I don't have to really deal with too much quote unquote jealousy. Like, you know, there was some moments of like, you love Max more than me.
Oh,
I know. Yeah, she said that. And the first time she said it, I teared up. I was like, that's not the case at all, you know. But we talked about it, and now we, you know, we schedule like mommy and me, I schedule time with her, you know, so that she doesn't feel quote unquote forgotten or whatever. But she's a great big sister. She's happy to be a big sister.
Oh,
but I love that she vocalized how she felt.
I was like, yeah.
Like, yep. And giving her the space to say that too. And not be, you know, received in a way of like, girl, shut up. You know, I got a baby. Like, it could have been that, right?
Yeah.
Because you, as an old, I mean, I know we're all older siblings. I know, G, you're in the middle, but Daryl, especially just being two of y'all, did you ever feel like that with your little sister?
No, because I was, like, excited to have a younger sibling.
Okay. At no point, and you didn't. Mm-hmm. I felt like that. And that's why when you said that, I was like, oh my gosh, she could both. Yeah. I know Hansi and Ryan is the favorite, though, even as an adult. Like, my sister is the favorite. Okay. I've just made so peace funny. With it. That was like, well, she always was. So.
You know, you're two sisters, though.
Right.
So I feel like that's a different dynamic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was going to say
if there was a younger brother that I was having, it would have probably been totally different.
Yeah.
And our relationship would be totally different. Like, imagine if he was straight. Like,
yeah.
How are we doing together?
Wow. So yeah. Ryan is the favorite. That's funny. I'm glad you made peace with that.
I did. I made peace with a very long time ago. Definitely.
My sister is my mom's favorite between the two of us. Uh-huh. So
yeah, you know. People,
yeah, you know. You know.
Everybody got their favorites.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, I'm like, I know that she is. But yeah. I don't remember. I'm trying to think, do I remember at that age, at that young age, being like she was? I know I probably felt it, but mm-hmm. like you said, to vocalize it, I love that.
You gotta love self-awareness.
Yeah. Yep. And it was like, I kind of, you know, I don't want to say I anticipated that, but like, you know, I was conscious, like, okay, if she feels this way, I have to just, you know, thoroughly explain to her, like, you know, no, you were this little at one point in time, and he just needs me more right now than you do. I don't have to, you know, take you to the bathroom. You can do that. I don't have to feed you. You can do that, you know. And saying those things made it a little bit more understandable for her. And then, you know, I have her assist me with it, you know. So she's a part of it, too. She's a part of the change in the diaper. She's a part of, you know, feeding him and all of that. Well, now she don't want to be a part of changing the diapers. That got nicked real quick. She like, I don't want to touch that.
Oh my gosh. Like, no, I'm good on that one.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love it. I mean, even I'm thinking about my sister's dog. He was going through it when the baby showed up.
Oh. Like,
the dog was going through. He was like, all the attention's not on me. Like, you know how you have that baby voice?
She's
like,
yeah. Oh.
He would come running over, and then it'd be like, not you, little nigga. Like, it's not you, it's to the bit. He was going through it, okay? Like, he was. That dog was going through it. But he's still very protective over her, mm-hmm. and she's very rough. Yeah. It's funny because she's, like, very rough with him. But I even, like, this past weekend, I was like, oh, he is, like, somebody pay me some damn attention in here.
Right now.
I was seeing all of it. And now I'm not getting anything. And I know somebody else that said their dog was like pooping in the house, you know, because they're not getting same level of attention as they were with a brand new baby. So
pooping in the house is a funny thing when the dog does that.
Like, it's Oliver, attention?
Right. Yeah. Oliver had pooped in Ant's office recently, and I was like, what did you do?
He did that on purpose.
What did you do to him? Like, he would never do that in here. Like, ever.
He got on his nerves. He got his ass. So.
And then left.
And I'm left.
Screaming.
So it's definitely like the poop in the house is a sign. That's like
what's it called? The dog was doing it too. He was regressing. He was pooping in the house, doing the same thing. Like,
that ain't even regression. That is, I'm sending a message.
Yeah. Loud and clear. Dog, and I hope you step in it.
Dogs are the pit.
And I hope you step in it. Yeah. Trifling bitch.
Literally. That is literally what the dog, they poop is saying that. Raggedy ass bitch. Don't want to pet me. You just gonna open up the door, raggedy ass. I got
open up the door at 10 p.m. trifling bitch.
Literally. Somebody needs to do an
That's
adult.
That's why they don't talk.
Yeah, right. Because you know they be saying that.
They would press our asses out.
Absolutely be saying that. No, we're so happy you had a healthy pregnancy.
Yeah.
Intentional.
Healthy baby.
Yeah. Healthy baby.
A big baby, because I've been watching him eat for the past 20 minutes now.
That's all he fucking do. I've actually just, you know what? I feel like I'm a little sensitive about this, so I have to, I guess I may need to just get it out, but I stopped breastfeeding. I just stopped. And I feel like maybe because it's a pain point for me at the moment, because my plan, again, you make a plan, plans change. My plan was to go about 6 months. I did 5 months with Jesse, and I wanted to just go a little bit longer with him. I wasn't going to do no whole year. God, kudos to the women who can do that shit. And those who do it longer, I don't know why, but God bless you. But I was like, I'm going to go for 6 months. And it was just really difficult. It was very different with him. The latching wasn't as easy. So it got to a point where I was just only doing expressed milk, meaning like you just pump it and you put it in a bottle and boom. But I couldn't keep up with his appetite because he is a hungry hippo. It's funny.
A growing boy, literally.
Yeah, a growing boy. Y'all seen him sit here and he's been eating this entire time that we've been talking. He also just had a bottle when he was upstairs with his dad. But the, I remember Maine being here
twice in an hour.
Yes, yes. Maine being here, she watched me nurse. At the time, I was still nursing. She watched me nurse him on both boobs, 20 minutes each, and then still get up and go make a bottle. It's exhausting. And so I was like, I can't do this anymore.
I can't, yeah.
And I felt really bad. And I felt like the first question anybody would ask me, people I know, strangers, would be like, oh, are you breastfeeding? And it's just like, why is that? Why are you asking me that?
Yeah.
My baby is fat. He's healthy. Like, but I think it's a pain point for me because it wasn't a part of my plan. And, you know, like when with the moms and Didi, if you know, your journey is still to become a parent, you will see like it's, I don't want to say it's like competition. That's the wrong word, but it's like it's this quest to be perfect and to do everything right, you know? And that is like your first experience of it, you know, like, oh, is your baby breastfed or are they formula fed? When really it's like, is your baby fed?
Because right,
I know people who are exclusively breastfeeding and their babies aren't getting enough food, you know? And that's not probably intentional on them because that was the issue with me. Was that I just wasn't making enough to meet his demand, but I wasn't going to starve him either. We went and got some damn organic formula. Like, all right, well, shit, you got to eat. Come on, you know?
Organic.
Yeah.
It was sold out in Target. I was there 2 weeks ago and the organic formula was sold out.
Mm.
What makes the formula organic? Is it
wheat? I don't even know. I know it's less dairy. I think that is
like healthier or something.
And healthier. But yeah, I was experimenting with it because, you know, you got to be like cognizant of their bellies, but the organic is also supposed to help with the gas. And he's a gassy baby. So that's also one of the reasons why, I was gifted like Similac. So I went through that first because the shit is expensive. so I would have loved to be breastfeeding still. That shit is free. You know, Similac's fucking $60, you know, but
could not believe how expensive all that.
It's
I forgot. But I was like, this is really expensive. Yeah.
I Google. I'm like, how much is milk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I remember. It was like a shortage.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think there was like a scam of it. And even, okay, this is sick that I remember this. But on Supermarket Sweet, they used to always get the Similac because it was so expensive. So it would bring your total up.
Oh, yes.
Like,
why
don't
still
get the Similac. Don't get the ribs.
Yeah, you know, Supermarket Sweet, it was like Similac, ribs. Now it was just everything.
Now it's anything. Yeah.
Like it was, but I remember that that's how I was introduced to the fact that baby formula was very expensive. It was from Supermarket.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
But we love that. I can't wait to see little Max grow up.
I know the babies being people
and be alone. And boys just eat so much. Like I remember, I watched my nephew eat like 5 pancakes in one sitting. I was like, "How did you just eat?
Where did it go?
5? Oh my gosh!
Yeah, that's
insane. He like only ate breakfast, and he was like such a breakfast person. Like he would, I mean, so much food at breakfast. But then it was kind of like normal after that. But that breakfast, that was definitely the most important meal of the day for him. For sure.
Oh, me too. Same. I love breakfast.
Like you know, I do.
I need breakfast every day.
No, I'm having a dinner, I guess, at this point, because I had nothing starving, but I'm about to be like, baby Max, get me a little milkshake or something.
Yeah, formula is expensive. Why is this $42?
You were looking up, yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, and that's not even like the, because you want to buy the big one because you get more for your money, essentially.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like the price of protein.
Yeah,
you don't want to bulk up. It's the same damn price. Yeah, right.
It is.
Bottle.
It is. He's pricey. She's definitely pricey.
Huh.
Yeah.
Girl, just put the titty back in. See what happens.
It's dried up. It's gone. Thank God that shit was not fun, dog. I'm
sure I could imagine that pain on your nipple.
It's crazy you say that back to this damn train. I'm on the train yesterday. This woman comes on there with her two kids. The little girl is probably like maybe like 1.5 because I could hear like some gibberish. So she's tall, walking, all of that. She could have been 2. Mm. I look back over and the titty is just in the mouth. Hi, Jesse. Dog.
Okay, you want to say hi?
Okay, dog.
Talking my headphone.
Hey. I still cannot. I cannot believe G is a mother of 2. I cannot
believe. Allow this.
I'm not.
We can't believe it either.
I cannot believe that she is a mother of with her triplet, her twins.
Okay.
Twins 4 years apart, 5 years apart. Like
as she just sits here and shakes her head.
Oh, yeah, that's all I can do.
Literally. No, but I could not believe this woman was breastfeeding her like 1.5-year-old. Like I and mind you, it's only 2 weeks. We saw this Ariel and a toddler.
She said, "Fuck it."
Yeah, I was like a crowded train. I was like, "Oh, I heard you, sis." Like
she said, "I'm being cost efficient."
I was like, "It's a lot going on." That's all I ever say every day. It's a lot going on every day. It's a lot going on.
Because it's true.
It's so true. There's so much going on.
It's funny when we were talking about, you know, what we wanted to discuss in the episode and we were really just thinking about everything that's been going on. It's literally like a laundry list of shit that's been happening. And this is just this week, right? Like, we could talk about Cowboy Carter. Amazing, right? We could talk about TV shows. We could talk about Diddy. Like, we could talk about abortion being still on the docket for the Supreme Court. It's just like literally so much happening.
It's just, you know what it is though. I think for me, I've had to, because it do be so much going on. That's literally the name of the episode. It's a lot going on. Because it is so much going on, I think you have to like really be sure within yourself, right? And that is a lifelong process. Yeah. It's a lifelong, like it's constant. And I think, because sometimes it's like you let all that stuff kind of like filter in sometimes, and it's always, and I hate to be like, it's just usually all the negative stuff too. And you're like, the damn bridge collapsed, and like how some people are. Yes. Like, so I know some people are like, I'm never driving over a bridge. Now, I had driven over that bridge 2 days before it had collapsed. And obviously, I like take that bridge whenever I go home. So I was like, yeah. I can't have that fear mongering in my life to be like, I'm never driving over a bridge because I have to drive over about 4 to get to New York when I drive home.
Yeah.
I'm like, and this was, yes, it collapsed, but something ran into it. So it's like, I think for me, I've had to change my perspective about a lot of things and be like, all right, Puff and his freak offs, it's sad, but that don't got shit to do with me. Like,
okay,
I pray for all parties involved, but like, it don't got nothing to do with me. I still got to drive over bridges, so you know, just like all
the it's all things. Perspective, too. Like
it
you
is,
said,
it's all perspective, even when you were saying that, G, about like your pregnancy of like smiling through it, and it's like, obviously, you know, it's a painful experience, but. Having a different mindset, I think, going into a lot of things from the job shit. And like mine, yeah. I think, like I said, has definitely been, you know, just like thinking about like how I want my life to feel and like who I want to be in my life.
Yeah.
And like, what does that look like? Cause it's, again, it's so much going on.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm reading this book and it's crazy enough. It's actually, I'm listening to an audiobook. Let me not act like I'm reading it. What is the name of it?
Going with that, girl. Yeah, it's the same thing.
Because I am reading a book. I'm reading like a fiction book. That's really good. Oh my gosh, I'm going to find it, y'all. But basically, it literally, Paula Patton, I do not follow her. And it was like a post with, and it's called like bringing in the love of your life in like 80 days or 60 days or something like that. I'm going to get the exact, can't find it. And then I see it, don't think anything of it. I end up texting one of my friends asking her randomly, like, I asked her about hair, actually. I was like, what type of hair bundles do you use for human hair for knotless braids? We start talking about, I don't even know how. And she sends me this book. I was like, yo, I just saw this 3 hours ago. Maybe that's a sign. It's like,
yeah, because she sent it unprovoked.
completely completely unprovoked.
What book is it?
Sorry,
I'm like, now I'm intrigued.
Right, it's like, what's the name of the
Calling in the One. And so, yeah, Calling in the One, 7 weeks to attract the love of your life. Now, I listened to it when I was probably driving over that bridge because I listened to it on my drive the other day. And there's like actual like workbook stuff you have to do. And I've only listened to it while I've been driving. So I paused it for a second to be able to do some of the journaling. But a lot of it is literally like, how are you showing up in your life? Like, what are the things that either you're attracting or what are you giving off or how do you even feel about yourself? Because I feel like a lot of times it's very easy to have this, I hate to say victim mentality, but like, you know, like, woe is me. Everything is happening to me as opposed to being like, well, maybe it's happening for me. Yeah, it's like a certain shifts in words can kind of like,
girl, that sound good. That sound good.
It does. Think about the person you know that always got some shit going on constantly. Yeah. I'm thinking about somebody, but yeah. I'm just saying,
Your eyeballs is like,
I was like, it's just always, it's like, it is not. I don't, obviously, you know, you probably could have a string of bad luck. I don't know. Cause I actually do believe in like generational curses and traumas, but like, how do you break those? Oh, insert other book. Okay. Homegoing. I think it's like Gyazi.
A book.
Fucking phenomenal. And it's like how book. All of the generational, I was insufferable reading that book because anything that happened, I was relating back to Africa and why Black people are the way they are. Like, about relationships. And I was like, my koofy, I was like, I have to read something else light. Because I was like, Umar. I was like, because y'all be fucking around with them snow bunnies. Like, it was so bad. I was like, get this book. Get away from me with that, Apollo. Like, I have to.
You want
to
reread it. I read it a few years ago. It's a heavy book, but so good.
Heavy. Yeah. It's so heavy.
Come on, Effie.
It's heavy. But it is all these, like, again, I think the combination of, like, lost friendships and things have been what role, as opposed to just being like, oh, well, fuck them and they did this and that and and it's you. It's kind of like, well, could I have showed up better or what kind of like role do you play in things? And I was like, and I know I constantly say this, but I think I'm actually doing the work of like being better. It's very easy to just like, oh, I want to be better and do better. And then you'd be doing the same shit. And it's like, nothing work like, you can't be like, I want to lose 5 pounds and then every night like you eating like shit,
like me.
I had like this like kind of fake nutritionist. She had me, I could not eat past 7 o'clock.
That's
at least
real.
Like 3 days a week. Cause she's I told her, I was like, it's not realistic for me to do it 7 days a week. So yeah, she's like, if you have to bring your dinner to work some days, you know, because like I might not leave work at 7.
It's given. I'm going home.
She's like that. Even that of apparently that helps tremendously. Because I'm like, what? And I haven't, to be honest, I didn't really follow it. But April is a new month, so I'm gonna
a new quarter. And it's really, I feel like this is one of the things we talked about in our last session about the new beginnings, but it not really starting until springtime.
I think I forgot whose calendar it really is. It's like your spring equinox is when like how Earth is hard. We did talk about this. How like Earth is hard. And now spring is like the time for things to bloom and like actually grow. And you know, literally the sun. I think it's such an underrated. We it just lights up the sky. No.
It does a lot. It does a lot.
A lot. We need it.
We need it. So it is. This is, and that's what I said. I was like, this is April. Is like my April. I think I said that before. April is my new year.
Like, the sun gives us a whole vitamin. Like, how does the sun touching your skin give you a vitamin?
And the number one, I had like 1% vitamin D. I have to take vitamin D pills because my vitamin D is so low.
I take vitamin D pills too.
And most people's are like, I mean, mine is my vitamin D is low on all fronts, but like everybody's my sun vitamin D is extremely low. Like I was, that's what I was like, child, I just need more all around.
And I think the beautiful thing about life too, is like, while it may seem annoying, is that we're always working on something. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's like this like continuous need, or not even need, but like the want and the urge to be better. And I think there are some people who can't tap into that urge, and literally it turns into woe is me because it's always something I got to work on. It's always something I have to do. But like, essentially that is life, right? And I think it's just changing your perspective around what's happening in your life and addressing it.
I definitely think some people are like too hyper-focused on that, the more so just the action of it and saying it, that you're like, it's like, I don't expect anybody to be perfect. Cause I think I feel like I've had this show up a little bit in my, not with y'all, but in my friendships, of being like, is everything all right? That's my other, is everything all right? Like, shout out to Dorian. Yeah. Cause it's just like, like, what is happening in your brain that, and when I, obviously I wouldn't say it in this way, but it's like, what is happening, seriously, that it's like, it outwardly.
Maybe you do need to say it in that way. Not to be the bearer of bad news.
It's definitely like, is that, like, I'm concerned. Is everything all right? Like, literally.
Yeah.
I'm literally.
If you're a friend, you should be able to say that, right? Yeah. Like, I think lot of times that feedback loop is needed. Like, we do feedback every quarter with these jobs. Like, why can't we do feedback with our friendships? It doesn't have to be so formal. It doesn't have to feel so like, you telling me that I need to show up for you more, bitch, so I'm be mad. It's not that. It's just more of like, hey, this is where I am in my space. This is what you're bringing. Not really working well. What are we going to do?
That's it. Literally, that's it. Because it is when it starts to affect, I think, your peace. Because honestly, if it hadn't started to do that, I would have been fine, right? And it wasn't just me, right? It's like, it's literally like everybody. Because a lot of times you're like, oh, it's just me. And I know I can be a little like, I think in a good way when I say hypersensitive to energies, like I could walk in a room and be like, oof, something don't feel right. I'm actually out. So it's not even, so I can usually recognize, and I can recognize sometimes when I'm like, oh, I'm in a really shitty mood. So anything anybody does is going to get on my nerves. We're beyond that. We're past that. Yo, what is it? Like, I need to have two conversations with like, two people I care about. And we literally, matter of fact, with the call I just got off of, and we were like, he said we were going to call them friend-terventions. I couldn't even get it out.
Friend-terventions. Oh, that's a good one.
I was like, that's so good. It's just like, seriously, a check-in. It's like, are you all right? Especially when it's not just, and I don't want to be the friend that's like, I'm talking about you and we doing all this and that, and we're not. Yeah. Addressing what the issue is, because again, it's also, I think it spreads into everything else. It spreads into your other friendships. It spreads into how you show up at work. It spreads in, you know, into how you date or your partner. Like, it shows up in a bunch of different things. It's not this isolated thing. And I mean, and it's very easy to just be like, oh, that bitch is weird. I'm gonna cut her off, him or her off. But like, no, I actually care about you. Like, we might gotta unearth some shit. And, you know, however it happens, I've like, no, and when I say no expectations, it's just kind of like, I don't know how it's going to be received, but I can just only do my part, you know?
Yeah. And it's like, we also know our friends too, right? Like, we've had these friends for a while now, just in terms of like, just the idea of giving feedback, right? And everybody's different too. So it's also like the approach, just in terms of like how you would come at somebody. Like, if somebody were to come at me with feedback, please tie it into something I'm already talking about, right? Like, don't come at me very like, out of nowhere, you talking about this one thing, I'm like, where the fuck that come from, right? Like, some people are just not receptive to, like, feedback out of nowhere, right? So sometimes you kind of have to definitely, like, cater it based off of who you're talking to. So if y'all want to give, if anybody want to give me feedback, please don't come out of
nowhere. Now is the time, right?
Come at me because I said something that triggered the thing that you were thinking about that you wanted to talk about any damn way.
No, literally. Same. And I think you have to be open to that, right? Literally, yeah. I was saying that, of like that same feedback that I was like, I can be like, I know me, I can be a little like scatterbrained, or I could just like text y'all. Right. I do it to everybody. I could text somebody something with no damn con. And I hate when people do that to me. So when people call
me, I actually love when you do it to me, though. I don't know why.
Literally,
I hate you. That's why I can recognize it sometimes in other people, right? Because I know I got a bunch of tabs open. So like, I've definitely, funny enough, I was just telling somebody how I was like, my best friend been talking about how I've been trying to surrender for 20 years. And he is over me saying the word surrender. But it is, I feel like I gotta, you know, I had to practice just being more present and slowing the fuck down and like, post some tabs, sister. No one knows what you're talking about. Like,
sometimes
literally I will never
touch her head, y'all. That's somebody
did it to me. He literally one day was and I was like, you right, all right, let me, he literally
is hell,
literally, because you could see it. So I can wreck
your forehead like a MacBook Pro. Literally, I cannot.
I had to do it to my homegirl. I literally had to go to her. I said, wait a minute now, hold on.
Not like, turn this one off.
Turn this one off. Close them. It's just like a
goddamn computer. You got that Google tab that got 46 open tabs.
Oh my gosh. And they just little tiny dots.
Yep.
That's it. And then they slow. And guess what it does? Slow down your computer. Just when you got all your apps open on your phone. The brain. It's a machine. Okay.
It's a machine.
Wow. Turn it on.
I mean, technology has advanced, but the human mind hasn't. It has been the same.
It has.
Dare I say, is it not, I don't want to say worse, but it's just like, I do think social media is rotting
it's worse.
Oh, yeah.
It absolutely is.
When you think about it, and not to go so, you know, deep, right? But when you think about it on just like in the most layman's terms, you're literally feeding your mind all day images and videos of things that you probably don't really care about. Mm-hmm. But now you have to, because your subconscious starts to think about it. And it'll show up in other ways of like, oh, I did see those pants because whoever the fuck was wearing them when I was scrolling, now I want them. And I mean, it just filters into so many things that we wouldn't care about. Like, can we get back to the time when all I knew about was what was going on with my family and my neighbors?
Oh, I want to know less about people. I want to know less about people. Yeah. Like, I even think of like how ChatGPT, I had to send a hard kind of like text message the other day, yesterday.
Not to ChatGPT to send a text message.
Yeah, because it was work related. So I just wanted to make sure it was
for everything too. I
ain't done a text message, but
it was technically supposed to be an email.
But it's work, right.
Work.
Okay.
But I don't have a free ChatGPT. And I'm like, so obviously I just had to do it myself and it was fine. But I'm like, you can't even, it's so much easier. The cognitive thinking, right? To like think beyond the thought or like really think about something, especially as a kid, you can just go to ChatGPT to write your paper, to do anything that you don't really even have to think as much. Cause you're like, let me put in a few of my lines in ChatGPT and come out with this.
And then you can tell it after it gives you the prompt and the response. I'd be like, too many lines. Just say it in two lines. Mm-hmm. You can literally respond back to it. Mm-hmm. And be like, this sounds too nice. Can you make it a little bit more harsh?
Or you are lying.
Yeah.
And it will spit out whatever you are telling. And it's certainly. And then give you a new.
That's a crazy. New response. I didn't even know it was like that.
I spend my days in that thing.
Wow.
There's always a tab that's open. ChatGPT is always a tab that's open.
Well, send me the
first. Oh, it's always open. Yeah.
Send me the one that y'all use, because I couldn't find one. But even that, like, I think we do have enough wherewithal and like can figure stuff out. But if you're 16, I'm only using ChatGPT for everything.
Yeah. Unfortunate.
Like, you can't, like, those cognitive.
It is unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah. I was looking for the word cognitive thinking. Like, you don't have that as much. And then again, what I was saying before, it shows up in your relationships, how you interact with people. It goes beyond just being like, you know, I want an easy paper or an easy text message to write. Like, we're using it to focus, and I've obviously grown up without it. It's scary.
It is scary.
It is scary because it's like how you were just talking about, like, the books and stuff that you are reading and all of that. Like, the idea of reading a book is going to be so not foreign, but like, why would I read the book when I can just go to ChatGPT and tell it to tell me what the book was about?
Now that is crazy. I'm like, no, I need to be like,
you're lazy, I know, but, like, to read a damn book.
But it will condition these children that they don't have to do that because I can go.
For that, yes, absolutely. Yeah, pleasure reading different, but like, I was the queen of Spark Notes, first of all. So having that.
Spark Notes, the original ChatGPT.
I don't think we got to a point where I found Spark Notes. I don't think I ever read one of them required reading books. I live by Spark Notes. It's literally the original ChatGPT. Like, but you still had to read it. It was condensed.
Yeah.
You still had to read.
And I think the thing too, that's technology advancing. The thing about Spark Notes was like, we all got the same Spark Note for the same book, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't switch it up depending on how we asked about it or what we wanted to know. ChatGPT, I can ask it to tell me something different than it told you. And it'll give me different verbiage that's being used, or like change the verbiage to center around the main character instead. Like, it's like it's so fascinating.
That's so crazy. Really, there's this show called A Murder at the End of the World, and it's weird. It's a weird show, Hulu, but it's really good on Hulu.
Yeah,
okay. And it's funny. It's a billionaire. He builds a bunker. And there's these series of murders and they're trying to figure out who did it. And so obviously I don't want to like spoil it, but it's low key, like some ChatGPT shit. And it's like living in the subconscious mind of somebody. It's crazy.
Mm.
It's very, very crazy. And it shows you like they have to destroy it because it's, well, okay, fuck it. I kind of just said it, but it's killing people.
Wow.
Like, literally, it takes on something to, you know, again, in the subconscious mind piece of it. And then when you find out who the person is that's, like, unintentionally doing it, you're like, are you kidding me? But it's good.
Wow.
Interesting.
It's slow. But it's good.
You know, we've talked about AI before, child, and not Allen Iverson, and that thing is taking over.
Wait, did you see the commercial with him, though? That was really clever.
Mm-mm.
There's a commercial. To be honest, I don't know what product they're selling. That's the thing that I kind of lose. But they in the commercial, it's like this couple, and they're like, "Well, just ask AI." And then the camera cuts to Allen Iverson, and he answers their question. He's like, "Ooh, I'm tired. Everybody, I know I'm the answer, but like everybody, it was just really good. I was like, ooh, whatever agency did this, they ate it. Like,
oh, wow, it was for Peacock or DraftKings.
Was it for Peacock? Okay, it was something, but it was really cool. Mm-hmm.
That is the fact that he said I'm the answer. That is so funny. Yep.
I love that. Wow. That is marketing. Like, are that we even going to be able to do that? Or are we going to ask ChatGPT to come up with an idea?
Absolutely. You know, I asked it already. Shit.
I do. I ask it for ideas. Yeah, I definitely ask it to help me with my plans. But the thing is that it's only as successful as your prompts, right? So it's like you kind of have to have some type of focal. I think how I use it, the way that I use it to help me be more successful is to help me like iron out the ideas a little bit more, make it, you know, sound better, or help me connect the dots, or if there's a piece that I may be missing. But you kind of have to already come there with something, you know, you can't. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I've only used it for like rewording something that I just need help wording. Yeah.
So is AI a tutor of some sort? Like, I'm like, we're coming towards to like, hey, here's a part of my homework. You mind helping me finish it and refine it?
I think, and it might be more than that, because it's giving
it's a, you answer. It's research. I don't know. I was asking it why, what's so meaningful about a jaguar in Mexico the other day, like just to understand. And it gave me all these points. So that was, I used it as a tool of research. It was better to ask that than Google.
Yeah, it's way easier. Yeah.
You got to sift through all of the results.
Right. Mm-hmm. I feel like a tutor is still going to, you still got to work through it a little bit. You still have to, you know, you're going to. ChatGPT is like, here it is. If you need me to switch it up a little bit. Look, what else you need?
And it's still like, it's powerful even if in its like infancy stage, because it's all words right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're going to be talking about this shit next year, and there's going to be photo video included at some point, which will be a whole other thing.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know. I guess, you know, whatever. Wow.
It's a lot going on.
It's a lot going on.
Is everyone okay?
It's a lot going on.
It's a lot.
People are not okay.
They're not. No. Bro, they even got the podcasters fighting. Like, we can't even talk it out no more. We can't even talk it out on the mics no more.
I mean, I feel like the podcast is dirty words now. Also, I would never want to be called a fucking podcast.
I never want to be called. But let's have a new, we need a new buzzword for ourselves.
We do, because I swear to God, if somebody called me that, I'd be like, oh, who?
Who? Right.
Maybe like, I'm an owl now, bitch. Who?
put the mics away. The government put mics in the hood.
The government put mics in the hood to like separate the black community. Ooh. It's so much going on.
I'm like, you know what? The government really did. No,
like when I see the clips and you know, the thing about the Oprah Rose show that I love is that you two young ladies have been doing this for like 8 years, right? And y'all were on the cusp of something, not realizing what it would turn into. So to me, y'all are not podcasters. We are not podcasters because it didn't start as that, right? Still not that from a personality level. But it's interesting to see how that medium has just grown, and you see all these clips and it's like, what the fuck are y'all talking about?
What the fuck?
What's going on with my people?
What's going on with your man?
You know what I'm about to say? It's a lot going on. Even dumbass, I think some of these, even like, I guess, I don't even know what to call them, but like you, it's not a show, but that shit with the red balloons. Until maybe like 2 weeks ago. And I didn't realize that, I guess, you know, someone walks into a room and I thought, I literally had no idea what the premise was, but if you don't like them, you pop the balloon.
Pop your balloon.
Fuck,
I would never be on a show like that, ever.
Who is signing up to be in a room with random people to either place your self-worth in terms of like what you look like or what you have to offer? I was like, that's so weird to me. Like, what? When I found out that was the premise, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, just start it all over. We need a Thanos snap and the real ones can stay. Yeah. Everybody else got to go. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Get rid of them.
I don't know if y'all like, the only reason I know about the Manosphere podcast is because unfortunately my man watches them. It's really, I'd be like, why the fuck do you engulf this type of content?
What's it called? The like, man, who?
The Manosphere, like your WAC 100s,
like the atmosphere, the Manosphere.
Okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. Your academics, your DJ academic, jump. What is it? No Jumper. That's the shit on there is like, I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, it's
I don't even know what to say.
You know what my this is my professional, actually. I'm like, I'm a little, I don't want to say it because this is definitely my professional. I fucking hate it. Is I'm not the target audience for that. I'm not the demo. That
And that's why I was like, I wouldn't have even known about those podcasts for real if it wasn't for him, because it's not on my Instagram. It's not. I miss that whole world in the media, in all of the media spheres. Like, I don't see that content on my Twitter. Praise the Lord.
I know. I haven't heard of Manosphere, but the others, yes, just because they do like music. So,
the Manosphere is the name of the umbrella of those.
Okay. It's like a network.
That's what I call it. Because it's very like.
I thought it was a podcast. Okay.
I'm gonna get up for a second. I thought that was the name of the damn show.
Did you?
And I'm like, yeah. Like Atmosphere. She like, yeah.
I mean, I got it, but I didn't. I thought it was the name of a show too. When you said Wack 100, yeah. I was like, oh, I thought it was only his because I knew
it's that specific like male audience, like that. What do you call it? High value male that.
Isn't it problematic? Yeah, I'll just hold on. Those are not the high value men. Yeah,
exactly. That's why I use quotation marks. Sorry, guys. Consider themselves to be.
No, because I feel like those audiences are. I think what's so scary, especially those YouTube bloggers, like your cousins and like everybody else, like one, they are, their reach and their base is so large, and it's kids, specifically YouTubers. It's kids. So you're growing up kind of thinking about this, like,
and this is the right way.
You see it like that, those two twins who were in Brooklyn in the bodega, she turned him down for a number and one died. She was stabbed. Yep. Because she did not want to give her number to somebody. Because I do think some of these, like I said, these YouTube things, it's like, and I'm not saying that yes, I am. Like, rejection is going to be a part. It's going to be a part of life. I don't care if you're however you identify. And like, as young boys going after women, you're not going to get every number. And the fact that you took it that personal and you killed a young woman, like, that's crazy. And then because you're watching all these things online, nobody plays outside, nobody has interaction,
can't solve your
feelings. Like,
when we were younger, you would go to, like, you know, Easter's coming up, and you would go to like the kiddie disco,
every Friday.
You would try to get the girl number, or you tried to dance with the girl, and she would dance with you. She would look back and be like, "He's not cute." And now you got rejected. Right,
and you kept it moving,
and it was like, all right, I'm gonna take it on the chin and keep going. But now that's
a lot of DJ academics,
that doesn't happen anymore.
It doesn't. Mm-hmm. Like, these men, the way men be arguing with women, like, that's just disgusting to me.
It's very disgusting.
Yeah. While we're on the podcast tip, I'm gonna do a little plug for "Are You Reading Me, Sis?" It's a new podcast with 6'6 Poppy. I am the Alejandro and Jackson Ernest. So y'all check that out.
Love it.
It's actually pretty funny too, because it's the three of them and pretty much talking about what we talk about in terms of like pop culture and from a gay perspective as well.
So, that's needed.
It's definitely needed. And the three of them are funny too, because they always just have inner debates. And so I think after they debate, it's always like, wait, are you reading me? So it was definitely a cute title for the podcast too. So y'all check them out.
It's a great name.
Yeah, it's a great name.
It is a great name.
For sure.
Such a great name. I love it. Like, literally, as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, I love this name. I stand.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I listen to podcasts, but like, I'm definitely not checking out. I usually don't listen to male-led podcasts unless
it's
shitty.
Yeah.
The only one with some damn sense.
John, I'll be over here listening to Sarah Jakes Roberts, okay? Because she needs to update her podcast, matter of fact, because YouTube, you can't really, you know, move around.
I actually still listen to Guys Next Door. They're a happy medium.
They got real quiet.
I did get real quiet. But I would consider them to be in the manosphere of They got real quiet.
Yeah, I was like, Jay Shetty, Sarah Jakes, Rob. I don't want to continue.
I used to watch.
Are you reading me, sis? Like, huh? Right.
I used to watch Don't Call Me White Girl a lot, but I haven't watched it recently with Mona.
She's a hoot.
Yeah.
She is a hoot.
Where I would like always watch it on YouTube. So I feel like a lot of times for podcasts, I've started more so watching them. Because I'll do it like while I'm like cooking.
Yeah.
So that says a lot about us. We need to build up a YouTube presence.
YouTube, I know. And I'm definitely. I gotta listen. I can't like because my commute.
Yeah, like some people, right? Some people are like, I just gotta listen. But I'm like, yeah, I'll watch it.
A commute, I know. And then I guess just like you know, we. I feel like we're always talking about like. I almost want to wait. Should we wait next week to talk about Cowboy Carter?
We can. Or we can do it now.
Because I feel like there's so many like.
Because have you sat with it yet?
I have. I mean, again, granted, it's only been a day and a half, but mm-hmm. I mean, I have my favorites.
I mean, I think you started talking about
it. Actually, we can. Okay, fuck it. But you know what? You know what we'll do? Yeah. Shows. So everybody is kept abreast of all of the shows. We'll do our shows later.
Yes.
So, yeah, Cowboy Carter. One, I think just the sentiment around it is like, Beyonce is somewhat, she's Beyonce. We look at her as otherworldly. And I think for her, always express like, these are the things I'm going through. Like, I'm still not allowed in this space. Like, she's still, at the end of the day, she is a Black woman, a Banji girl from Louisiana. You are a Black woman. You put your pants leg on the same way everybody else do. And you still gonna experience the same shit. No amount of money, anything, or status is like gonna change that. And I love that she talks about that. I think for me, I love the sentiment about this album more than I actually like the album. I do like it. It's cool, but I don't see me next year being like, God damn it, that Cowboy Carter. Like, I don't
I get what you're saying now from like a full, you know, replay value start to finish. I mean, my thing is like, I remember, you know, when it was announced that she'd be doing a country album. Everyone was like, oh, I knew it, you know, just trying to, you know, people just trying to guess like which genre she'd do next. Mm-hmm. I still wonder if she thought about calling it Rodeo at one point. Because the name Cowboy Carter, I was like, well, where did that
come from? It's corny as fuck.
I'm dead. Somebody was like, she gonna let us know if she love her husband. I mean, and that to me, I don't know.
She's been saying that since child, for 20 years.
Forever. I don't mind the name, actually. At all, because I don't know what the third act is going to be, if it's going to be mm-hmm. an R or whatever. I think it's like it's very long. I do love the fact that obviously she included like newer artists and then is giving homage to older artists that you know, that we don't know of like at all. Like I saw that everybody, and shout out to Brittany Spencer, who is also Dee Dee's sister.
Shout out to Brittany.
Craziest thing of witnessing that at midnight with everyone else. Like, I had no idea. Like, she literally couldn't even tell people.
Child, that NDA strong. That okay? is,
like, height. Like,
and you, we all love Dee so much, we don't want to disrespect her, so we're going to keep our lips sealed.
You're
going to do what she asks you to do.
Yeah.
For the sake of the art. And so I was talking to our younger sister, Bria, the night before, because the night before they were talking about Tanner was on the album, and, like, there was all this talk about Tanner, who's also a newer artist. And we were like, huh, that's the artist she chose to pick. So it wasn't like we were tearing this young girl apart, right? But from a, you know, sibling point of view, it was like, you know, wanting Brittany to be a part of. We were even naming other artists too, just in that space. But I'm just so happy that she, you know, acknowledged Brittany, also Raina and Tierra too on that song. So
yeah.
Amazing. And those first songs, I didn't realize that. And I have let me say this,
because
I
definitely
do my okay. So it is my research to see. It was like allegedly like Paul McCartney wrote it. It was a Beatles song.
It's a Beatles song. Mm-hmm.
About what was it about? Like a civil rights.
Little Rock Nine, I think. Was it them or?
I didn't see who. I just saw like civil rights.
It was written in 1968, so that makes sense for civil rights.
I think those first three, right? If you, so here was the thing that I did sit with, cause I did listen to it like back to back the first night. I feel like that first half is everything that she has been talking about, like the pain and, you know, like the genres and being genreless and going through it. Cause I was walking, and maybe because I was outside and I was around nature, I was getting a little emotional listening to American Requiem. Like I was literally like, oh my God. And it, you know, and then they going into the Blackbird song, and I think into 16 Carriages.
Oh my like, God.
You
know, the transition into 16 Carriages literally gave me like goosebumps.
Yeah. It gives you goosebumps. Yeah. It almost feels spiritual. Then you get into like your country bag, and the country bag is kind of like,
Yeah,
and
then it kind of goes,
and I feel like those are also
house funk.
Yeah, and then it ends because they said she did this one before.
Before Renaissance.
So it feels like the end to me is the
going
the
into
the older Renaissance-y. I'm making this my own genre thing. So I definitely have like broken it up into these pieces. And again, like I said, conceptually, like I love it. I mean, I listened to it this morning, so I'm not even gonna sit up here in front. Like I don't, it's just, it's a lot of song. I think that's my biggest.
It is. I agree. It's too long. She's no Renaissance, but the thing that I love about Beyoncé is that she has no fear with her artistic expression, which I feel like so many artists do. You know, they stop making music or they make the same music or whatever, and she isn't, you can't box her in even, and people critique her down. You know, there's so many people who are pressed to listen right at midnight along with the rest of us just to drag her, which is so very interesting because I'm like, you're a fan. There's no way, if I don't like somebody and I don't like their work, that I'm staying up till midnight to listen to their shit, to drag them. Like, complaint. That don't even make no fucking sense. Pressed as fuck, you know? But neither here nor there. I agree with everything you said, T. I think that is just so beautiful how she is able to, like, you know, make the transitions on this. And, you know, there's songs that I love, songs that I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. But again, I love that she is being an artist, and this is, as a musician, this is what you're supposed to do. Everything isn't going to be your what is it, opus maximus or everything won't be that. Sometimes you're going to have things that aren't the best, but the idea is that you create, you know. And I'm glad that she just hasn't stopped,
and for over 20 years, like
over 20
years, 26 years.
I literally did the math because I wanted to know myself how many years. 26 years. And like, when you think about, G, you were just talking about the idea of like the magnum opus, which is like your greatest body of work, right? A lot of people might say that's the self-titled Beyoncé album, just in terms of like what it did for her and changing strategies around music release and that whole thing.
I was about to say it changed the music industry in general.
It is.
So... even thinking about that and being able to still put out great work, right? Like you think of like her older contemporaries, I'm not going to name nobody, but you know, people that came before her, once they reached putting out 6 or 7 albums, the rest of them didn't really pan to what came before it. Like he's putting out actual better music each time, whether it's a genre you like or not, you know, like it just gets better. That second half of the album, that little pocket that's like
Desert Eagle
to Sweet Honey Bunny.
Yeah, that's the pocket.
Like, that's an EP. Like that's a little like I could just hit play from there.
Honestly.
And there's no shade, you know.
Bodyguard has me in a
whole experience.
Bodyguard has me in a chokehold.
I gotta go back to Bodyguard.
Bodyguard absolutely has me in a chokehold. And then I go for Desert Eagle and Tyrant and all of that. Like, but Bodyguard is my, like, definitely easily my favorite, I guess, country, the most country song. Because I feel like next time y'all listen to it, and actually I want the listeners to too, because I tweeted this, is that Rafael Sadiq in the background? That when it starts off, it what really song? Sounds like him on Bodyguard.
Bodyguard.
Oh, I'm going to have to play it again.
Listen to it. And then, because they said it was Taylor Swift in the background vocals, and it does sound like her.
They did say that, yeah.
But then they said it wasn't her. But it just listened to it. And the credits aren't.
They still ain't rolled out the credits yet.
So I believe this is a strategy.
I believe so too.
She's doing this on purpose to be like, enjoy the music and don't worry about who wrote it and who contributed. People critique her down.
Yeah. Listen to it. I think that when I know, and maybe because I know she was working with Rafael Saadiq too, that I'm like, it sounds just like him in the beginning of Bodyguard. And it, it feels like a Ask Him song, but you usually
don't hear him. He was on Texas Hold'em and 16 Carriages.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's why I was like, it could have been one of the, like, a bunch of the ones that he did. I forgot which one The Dream did. Oh, sorry, she said she had recorded over 100 songs.
As long as you don't have no hard wig, child, you good.
I can't.
Because that's really a thing. Soft life, hard wig.
I mean, but that's part of the soft lifeness of it, right?
Well, technically, it's if you're trying to go after a specific type of man, i.e. a white man.
Oh. Okay.
And I'm like, they don't like bitches with their hair done? I don't understand. But well, the softer the life, the harder the wig, honey.
Yeah, because I don't know that they pay that much attention to, you know.
So you can just be free?
Not necessarily free, but it's like, you know, I don't know. Like, they're like, you pay how much for it? Don't worry about that. I don't know. I really don't know. But I can
get my hair done for my nigga.
also that
like if I
that is for me
like when I get my bundles freshly done, it's like, yes, I'm that bitch. I ain't thinking about him.
Oh, my nigga gonna love this.
Yeah, I'm not thinking about him.
She was supposed to come like 2 hours later.
Love wow. it.
5 stars. Well, one
love that for you.
Because last time they was bringing me cucumbers. Oh, and I think I forgot cucumbers. Last time they was bringing me zucchini instead of cucumbers.
Mm.
But usually I'm okay. She ain't have no notes. I kept checking. So, yeah. Love me some Instacart. See, this is it's giving free ad. Instacart, okay. Y'all better holla at the girls.
Listen. Give us something so we can give the people back something, too.
Right? Give us a little 10% off code. Everything helps because the fiends be fiending.
It's a lot going on.
It's a lot going on. Oh my gosh. Now, well, let me see.
I do love Jolene as well. I thought when, you know, I knew that she was, when I saw the Jolene cover, I just thought it was going to just be a normal cover of Jolene. I love the fact that the lyrics were changed.
Yeah.
And that it felt very like her. I'm like, The Dream wrote on this. Absolutely.
Oh, you know he did. Yeah.
I was like, this is the Dream. Switched that whole thing around.
Yeah. I really like the Miley song.
I do. But too. It's one of my favorites. I also
love Miley. And I like their contrasting vocals too. Like Miley's so like raspy, raunchy, raw voice, and Beyonce is like sultry, but she can go there. Like I love it.
And then the thing about Miley is like she's like country royalty, right? When you think about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she hasn't really done country.
No.
But she has a very country voice.
Yeah.
Early stuff. I mean, somebody was like, I listened to Wrecking Ball this morning. It didn't have me on my favorite Tyra songs.
Woo.
Playlist. And then Adore You. Well, I love that song.
Adore You is amazing. I mean, that's how you open an album, but to open bangers with Adore You was interesting, but
like
a wonderful song.
Love.
I'm glad she won got her flowers for a song.
It changed her career in the sense that people took her more serious as an artist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was a little bit of a joke.
I even think about, you know, that Jay-Z song on Magna Carta when it's like twerk Molly, Molly twerk. Just the idea of like,
well, remember, let's be clear. Sorry, we're not gonna sit here and act like Miley was some very serious artist. When she was with Mike Will, that shit was a fucking like blackfishing. Like,
she was rewriting
Miley Cyrus's history.
She needed her ass spanked for that. She did.
That shit was horrible.
It was. Yeah,
Bangers wasn't a bad album.
It wasn't a bad album. It wasn't a bad album, but it was very much so Blackfishing.
Yeah, I think that time period, 2012, 2014, very short pocket. I know T's annoyed by this, but we allowed people to infringe on our culture very easily.
We still do, but yeah.
But then it was like Macklemore, Ryan Lewis, Iggy Azalea. Oh, yeah. Like, it was a lot of them, right? And I love me some Iggy, so that's no shade to Iggy. But
you stand alone on that. I had to say that.
Did you see my face? I was like, I never, because that's the same conversation about Post Malone. He came in very hip hop and he's on the country album. I will say, I feel like Post definitely took that song and kind of like got everybody in. You had the song with Quavo, but even his first album, like I have songs on that, our playlist G, that are his first album that are kind of country-esque. Yeah. It's not, I think my thing with him is, and I know he does get a lot of flack, as he should, because it was like he was labeled as a rapper, but that album, the very first one, is definitely like, it's some ballads. Like, I don't even know what genre it really is, but they're like,
oh, you know, Stony?
Yeah. There's some bops on Stony.
Right. Like, even the one he did with Pharrell has like, some country, I think it's called Up There, has like some country-esque, but he has a country voice. He kind of just did a country album a little bit.
Yeah.
Austin, I guess you could say. But yeah, like he would have been in that pocket too of other races infringing on our culture.
Yeah, we always give people the cookout, you know, they can come to the cookout pass, and child, DEI is now, what are they saying this shit? I mean, I keep saying it's DIE, but
didn't earn it.
Yeah,
that's exactly what the white people saying. Oh. Meanwhile, they the ones who ain't earned shit.
Exactly.
They stole everything.
That's just a constant.
And if you want to say nigga, just say nigga. Say it with your chest. Stop being a pussy.
Yeah. Wait a minute. I ain't going on no damn national television and you call me a nigga.
Right? But like, I don't. But if you want to use DEI respectfully, like, be on your Lyndon B. Johnson. Go ahead so somebody can slap the shit out of you.
That's what they want. Like, the fact that they were literally back to this damn bridge, blaming it on the black mayor.
That pissed me off.
Poorly, like
calling him a DEI a mayor.
How does that? And it was like you were supposed to stop, like a white mayor would have stopped that from happening. Like, I don't understand the correlation.
And I just hate the rhetoric around him with all of that, because they're using his age as well in terms of like defining what he's capable of. Mm-hmm. Like, he's been mayor of Baltimore for 3 years now.
Has it been longer?
Might be longer. This might be like, we might be in the fourth year, because it was like in the pandemic.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like, crazy. It's really wild, but yeah, child, it's a lot going on. Everybody, listen, be safe, be vigilant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to find when he was elected. I'm trying to find when he was elected.
What? You need a quote? Because
I was trying to find when he was elected.
Oh, 2020. I just found it.
Okay.
I do have a quote, though, if you don't have one.
Oh, please.
All right. I posted this today. This is pretty long, so I'm going to shorten it. I've been posting more. Shout out to TT for always posting inspirational things on her story every day.
Yes, before she gets into the fuckery funny.
I know. I didn't post. I didn't feel anything today. I just had this song. I have no creation.
But be grateful that what you thought you wanted never materialized. Trust that you were being protected and redirected to more. When you try to create from impatience and chaos, your foundation will crumble. What is yours could never be taken away. Build from a better place by believing your miracles are already done. Sometimes what you wanted was too small for what you were really worth. Trust in the fullness of what you deserve.
Oh, I got to post
it now.
Like,
come on now.
Baby, that was a word.
Was that Moon Names?
This was Third Eye.
Oh, Third Eye. Okay. Yeah. I don't follow them. Let me go follow them.
Third Eye Talk.
That was beautiful.
That, let me tell you something. All of that. Plus one.
Like, I like felt it. And that was the first thing I saw when I woke up. Because now that
amazing.
I like all of these,
You know, see it now.
That's like the first thing I see, which we love that.
I need to be waking up to that, not the neighborhood talk, honey.
Sometimes it's neighborhood talk.
Mine is, I hate
mine is too. And I hide so many stories. That's why I'm like, yo, they're behind this algorithm in a different kind of way. Cause I hide a lot of the bad shit that I don't want, like anything just super negative, I like hide it. And it's still always like the first thing that comes up. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. I need to just unfollow altogether.
No, it's a lot. It's a lot. It's definitely a lot. Well, it's as bad as like when people send me like Shade Room or Neighborhood Talk videos.
I don't even follow the Shade Room no more.
Yeah.
I follow them, but I'm like, I synced it. Like,
right. Like, don't send me nothing from Neighborhood Talk.
Send me nothing from the Neighborhood Talk. Yeah.
Like, I saw it. I unfortunately follow like every blog. So still. So I'm like, I saw it. Like, I saw it. And I'm on TikTok too much. So I'm like, I saw it. Right. Saw it. And Twitter.
Twitter, right? Like, you know, we all, the three of us use Twitter more than probably any other of the platforms. So, we saw it. That is where the news breaks.
Yeah, like, that's where it breaks.
I synced it. Like, I-S-I-S-T. No, I-S-I. I synced it. Well, I'm so happy to be back. We'll be recording in person coming up. We're going to do some A-Town Storm to the muscle. To the muscle.
Hey.
Why I was like, do the crackhead. Oh, my God. Thunderclap.
All right. I think it's time to go. Holla. Bye.